All right. Thank you, Brian. How many of y'all were not here last Sunday night? Okay. Well, I have kind of a review, and that's why I put it in there, just in case that was the fact. Does everybody have a notebook, though? If you don't have a notebook, there's four or five of them still up here. Come and grab you, or we'll grab you a notebook if you need one. Last Sunday night, we started this study, and we kind of did an introduction. I'll give you a kind of a brief rundown, but also remember, you can go online. You can go to www.fbccahoma.org. You can click on the audio sermon, or does it say sermon audio? Which one does it say? Audio message?
It says sermon.
Yeah.
Listen
online, and then you have to click on another one that says, I think it's listen, you know, audio sermon or something like that. And then just choose Discovering My Shape, okay? And you can listen to it and go back all the way through everything that we talked about. But it was really an introduction. We talked about the purpose for the study. We talked about the principle that was underlining all this study. And that principle simply is really that we are shaped for service, for ministry. And that's the principle that we're looking at the focus of it is really that a lot of times churches look at a institutional approach. Anybody remember that was here? Anybody remember what's the institutional approach? This is an easy one for you because this is the way most churches do it. We got a position. Let's find somebody that we can fit in that position. The positions drive what's going on. Instead of that, I think the right way to do that is the individual approach. And that is you teach and you train individuals about what their gifts, what their shape is, and that through that they are able to discover and get and plug into a ministry that fits them. Remember we talked about spinning the plate. One of the things that's probably that I don't want to say dreaded, that's not the right word, but the thing that bothered me the most as a pastor throughout the years is the constantly spinning plates. You get one thing going, and you kind of get that ministry going, and you get over here and you start, you know, the next one, and while you're getting this one going, you glance over here and that one's just kind of flopping around. So you got to stop and go over there and get it going again. And I really think the reason that happens is because we have this idea of an institutional approach. We've got so many Sunday school teachers that we need, you know, positions. We've got so many leadership positions, so many this, that. Let's kind of survey, look around and say, okay, you're not going to throw too much of a fit, I don't think, if we put you in there. That's why we have to spin plates. But when we look at an individual approach, and that is that we help people figure out what their gift is or what their ministry is, whatever, however you want to say it, and then you get them plugged into a ministry, you don't ever have to rev them up. You don't have to keep encouraging them and pushing them along. Most of the time, you got to make sure they keep enough resources in front of them and stay out of the way. And that's what I think is a better way to do it. I think that's more of an important way to do that ministry, okay, or to do ministry. So we looked at that about the kind of the approach that we would look at it. The goal is just simply to help you find what your shape is. We've talked about it for 7 weeks in the morning services. But almost every time after every service, we had more question, more people asking, you know, well, what about this? What about that? So that's why we did the study. That's why we wanted to do the study, to go a little bit more deeper in it. We looked at the priorities. We looked at how our shape determines our ministry. And so that's kind of what we covered. Again, if you weren't here for that, go back. I'll go online and look at it. I'll even go a step further. If you will let Brian and I know ahead of time, if you have problems getting online, I bet you anything we can get you a copy of it. where you can plug it in and listen to it, okay? It's important, and we're going to make sure that each of these studies that we're going through in these Sunday nights, that you're able to get back a hold of them, okay, if you miss anything. So tonight, we're going to look at, there are basically five things that your shape, we use that acronym of shape, right? The S is spiritual gifts. H, your heart or your passion. What are you passionate about? A, abilities. The P, your personality. And E, experiences. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at those five things. Tonight, we're going to look at the S. Now, I promised you, if you gave me four Sunday nights, we'd get it done. So pretty quick, you're going, wait a minute. That's right. We're going to have to look at our heart and our ability together and our personality and our experiences together. Those are the next two Sundays. But spiritual gifts are one of those things, y'all. If we try to rush through it, if I tried to get two or three things put in here on Sunday night in one setting, you'd be more confused than you are right now, probably. And so I decided we're going to spend one Sunday night just on spiritual gifts. Now, let me ask you, because y'all know on Sunday nights I like asking a lot of questions. And I'm not asking you to read your material right now. Just tell me, when you hear the word spiritual gift, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Do what? Okay, the ability to preach. Singing voice, good. What else? Teaching. Okay, something you can't do without God's help. I'm sorry? Singing, okay. Okay, gift of service or service to others. Go ahead, what? I thought somebody else was speaking. I didn't want to cut anybody off. Let me give you another one. Where do you find the list of the spiritual gifts? Well, yeah. let me rephrase that. Where out specifically in the Bible do you find the exhaustive list of spiritual gifts? Let me help you here. There's no such animal. They're scattered in a lot of different places. Sometimes they are listed individually. Sometimes they're listed as a group. Sometimes they're just mentioned in a sentence. We are going to look at 21 spiritual gifts tonight. But I want you to understand that is not the exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. If you Google it, and I hate to say that because I know somebody's going to Google it. I Googled it. There were 30 books in publication whenever I started this study, and I just Googled books on spiritual gifts. And it was kind of often some weird things, so I kept narrowing it down. I put Christian books on spiritual gifts. There were 30 of them. And on most of them, I could look at kind of a synopsis of it. You know what I came away with the understanding is? Not a single one of those 30 books agreed with each other about what are all of the spiritual gifts. They even had some differences about, I have three studies that I really put this together from, and I have to kind of lay those out because even they have some discrepancies. For example, I have a study that I have had for years. And I have to look at the guy's name again. Just a second. Give me just 1 minute. C. Sumner Wimp. Anybody ever heard of C. Sumner Wimp? Great, great study. It's called How on Earth Can I Be Spiritual? He says that you classify the spiritual gifts really in three categories. They are done in what he calls a speaking gifts, serving gifts, and sign gifts. Rick Warren does one on spiritual gifts, and he says he divides them in the four purposes of the church. None of the books agree on all of the gifts or what they all are. We're going to talk about, at the very end, we're going to talk about the gift of leadership and the gift of administration. I kind of broke those out. Most places combine those two. They say they're really pretty much the same thing, but I want to make a point about each of them, so I kind of broke them apart. What I'm trying to tell you is this is not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts. If you can get an exhausted list and you can confidently say, I have every gift listed down on a piece of paper now, please bring it to me, and I'll help you get it published, and we'll make some money. Because it just doesn't happen. There are too many ideas about how to group them, and if that counts as one, if one's a calling, if one's a gift, or one's a calling, or one's an endowment, or, you know, all these other things. It's pretty confusing. It's no wonder. And my final question is how many of you would say you have some confusion about, or you don't feel like you know everything that you should know about the spiritual gifts? And that's why. I just want to tell you, you're not alone. Theologians can't agree completely on it. And so we're going to look at it. And like I say, basically I settled on Rick Warren and C. Sumner Wimps, their ideas about it, and I kind of merged those together and put some from some other areas, but those are the two major ones. And like I said, they even have some, not theological disagreements. I'm not saying heaven or hell differences. I just mean difference of how is this one exhibited? You know, what does it mean exactly? So we're going to work our way through it. I'm going to try to help you get through this and the best I can. And just, I want you to have that understanding that we are not all, it's not a simple topic at all. But I think it's a needed topic because I think for you to begin to understand what your ministry should be and needs to be, you got to start with what are your giftings? What is your spiritual gift that you have? Now, I hear it an awful lot. Well, Brother Mark, that's pretty easy. I don't have any spiritual gifts. Well, I want to say this in all love, but you're wrong. If you are born again, You're wrong if you are going to get, if you're going to go to heaven, you're wrong. All right? If you are born again believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. It may be undeveloped, it may be undiscovered, it may be unutilized, but you've got it. So if somebody gets real adamant, no, I don't have a spiritual gift, then in my mind, it automatically shifts and I'm like, whoo, we sure better get them and introduce Jesus to them then. Because what you're saying is you're not saved. There is a difference between talents and gifts, natural abilities and spiritual abilities. We're talking about spiritual abilities. When we get to the A of shape, we'll talk about your natural abilities some. But tonight, we're talking about spiritual abilities. So understand, we're going to look at what they are, how you get them, when you get them, and all that kind of stuff, okay? What is a spiritual gift? Everybody, I should be on, I don't know, whatever, what page is that, by the way, y'all? Page 7. What is a spiritual gift? It is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer at their conversion to be used to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ. You want to know why we have so many denominations in our country today? Right here is one of them, isn't it? Right here is one of the principles that divides denominations. I believe it's scriptural. I believe the Bible shows us and teaches us the moment we're saved, we receive that spiritual gift. Are there any denominations that think it comes later? Yeah. Charismatic churches, as if you want to lump them in that sum, have this idea that you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. When you receive your baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you get that gift. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I think the Bible teaches us the moment we invite Christ in our life, we get it. Now, I already said the spiritual gift is a spiritual ability or a special ability. It is not a natural talent. You are not going to find the ability, the athletic ability, or the ability to run a touchdown. I don't think you're going to find it under a list of spiritual gifts. But it's an ability that God gave you, right? But that's a natural ability. We're talking about spiritual abilities, special spiritual gift. And like I said, a lot of times people say, I don't have it. You've got one, at least. And I'm also going to say to you, it's going to sound like I'm contradicting it down here at about number 7, and I'm not. I'll have to explain that word. But you've got at least one. And I think the scripture shows us when we utilize the one, he gives us others. Keep in mind the story of the talents, huh? Of the parable of the talents. So, let me give you the 10 truths of spiritual gifts. Those all have blanks in them, don't they? All right, number one, only believers get the gifts. Only believers get those gifts. You get it when you're born again. Just like you get natural abilities when you're physically born, you get a spiritual ability when you are spiritually reborn. Number two, every Christian has at least what? One gift. Number three, no one receives all of the gifts. Now why? Why are you writing that? What's the reason? Why would God not give somebody every single one? Even if it's the 21, and I think it's more than that, but that's the ones that I could justify, I guess, in that sense, and that's not the bright word, but anyway, that I could prove to you. I think there's more than 21, but why would God not give somebody all 21 of them? Very good. You come over here and sit right here next to me. No, you're fine right there. That is good. That's exactly it. What he said was, he said that if he gave somebody all of the gifts, that person wouldn't have to work with anybody else. They could do kind of everything by themselves. And God wants us to work together, doesn't he? God tells us all over throughout the scripture, we are the body of Christ. There are many parts, and the parts have got to work together. That's why he didn't give one person all the gifts. They would be a spiritual snob, wouldn't they? They wouldn't need anybody else.
They'd be worn out.
Yeah, they'd be wore out too. You're right. We already wear enough of y'all out that don't have all 21 of those spiritual gifts, don't we? Imagine what we would do with somebody that had every single one of them. So you're absolutely right. If you received all of them, you wouldn't have any need for anybody else in the body of Christ. And you're going to see, as I'm going to repeat this probably several times, the idea about the spiritual gifts are that it requires us to share them with each other, and that's how the work gets done. And so it would be counterproductive if you gave everybody all of them. Also, number four, no single gift is given to everyone. In other words, there's not one gift that God says, okay, this is kind of the baseline. Everybody gets this gift. There's not one of those. Everyone doesn't get, not everyone has, or not one single gift is given to everyone. Again, God likes variety, doesn't he? He wants to do that. Number five. You already know this one. You can't earn or work for these gifts. Somebody give me the definition of a gift. Something that's given to you, right? It's a present. If you work for it and if you earn it, Caden? Okay. Yeah, that's the definition for a spiritual gift, right? You're right. What I was asking is a gift, a Christmas present, unearned. If you go and you put in so many hours at work and you get a paycheck, is that paycheck a gift? It's an earning. It's wages, right? It's what you've worked for. A spiritual gift is not something you work for. A spiritual gift is just that, what Caden just read off for us. It's a gift. It's something that's given to you. Just by the definition of what gift is, you can't work for it, can you? I'm going to let that sink in for a minute because hopefully some of your minds are going, I've experienced some people, I've witnessed some people that they were working pretty hard for some gifts. And how did that work out? Not very well. You can't work for it. Number six, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives it to us. Hence the name, gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives them to us. He decides. We don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit in Baptist churches. He's kind of like the dear cousin that we love, but we really hope he doesn't show up and act silly. That's kind of how we treat the Holy Spirit a lot of times, isn't it? But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the one that decides who gets these gifts. And you because you can't earn them, you can't say to him, I mean, you can say it, but it's being silly, to say to the Holy Spirit, you know what? I don't know why you gave Jay that voice or you gave Brian that voice. You really should have given me that voice. That's silly, isn't it? It's because the Holy Spirit decides. Number seven, irrevocable is the word that I put down there. I wish I could change that one. Irrevocable. A better word would be binding. So put whichever words you want. But I need for you to understand, that does not mean that you are guaranteed to get to keep it. And I wish I could find a better word for it, but I can't. Irrevocable just means, it really means it's not, you can't swap them out. Maybe that's the word. That's what we needed to put. It just came to me. They are non-transferable. I wish I'd have thought about that 3 weeks ago when I was putting this together. So beside that, they're non-transferable. I can't look at Jay's gift of being able to sing and say, you know what, Jay? I think I'd really like to have your gift. How about one of mine? How about we swap gifts? That's what I mean by that. They're non-transferable. They're irrevocable. You don't get to deal them out and pass them out and transfer them and do all this other stuff with them. The Holy Spirit gives them to you, okay? Number eight, I am to develop these spiritual gifts. I'll probably say this again, but when you were born, you had a natural ability to hear, see, smell, taste, all these natural abilities, right? Were they fully developed like you have them now when you were born? No. You didn't even know you had them. Trust me. All you have to do is spend a little bit of time with Colton and with Emmy and a number of other grandkids that y'all have, And you can figure out their sense of smell ain't real good right now. Because they feed those babies some of the nastiest smelling stuff in the world. Amen? And they just chunk. Have you ever smelt formula? It's gross. But they scream until you bring it to them. Why? Because their sense of smell and taste hasn't developed like ours. I think once you feed them steak and potatoes, it's all over, but that's just my thought, okay? Same way with our spiritual gifts. They have to be developed. They're there. Whatever gift the Holy Spirit has chosen to give you, it's there. When you invited Christ in your life, it came there. But it needs to be developed a lot of times. Or it has to be developed. It may not have been developed yet, and that's why you don't know what it is. So it's got to be developed. Number nine, this we talked about this a little bit last week. It's a sin to waste it. Remember the parable of the talents. It's a sin to waste your spiritual gift. And then number 10, using my gift glorifies God and it grows me. You get the feeling this should have been either 11 or 12 truths. Using my gift glorifies God and it grows me. So what's the purpose of our spiritual gifts? There's really two purposes. One is for the benefit of others. That's the hardest concept for us to get. Some of the times when I flip the TV around and I see some of these high-powered, high-paid evangelists on the screen, I get the feeling they forgot that their gift is supposed to be used to bless other people. You get the feeling their gift is to be used to bless themselves, huh? And their bank account and their building and their homes and all those other things. Spiritual gifts are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. Second thing is, they are to produce maturity and stability within the church family. So they're to be used to benefit others, and they are to produce maturity and stability within the church body. I need to make this really plain. I'm going to say several of these things. I'm going to say three or four times, probably, just making sure you get it here. Utilizing a spiritual gift outside of the body of Christ is contrary to the doctrine and the principles of spiritual gifts. Now, I say that. You might have a vocation that is outside of the church. And I'm not saying it's wrong to use it out there. But I'm saying if God gave you a gift and you said, well, I've got a choice. I can use that gift in the church or I can use that out on the circuit someplace and make money. It is designed to be used for the body of Christ. Now, again, we can use them out there. There's evangelists, there's music evangelists, there's guys that write curriculum, there's theologians, there's all kinds that they are not necessarily in a church building working. But that gift is to be used to build up, to mature, and to stabilize the church body. If it's not being used for that, it's being used wrong. Does that make sense? Everybody all right with that? I want to make sure you understand. I'm not criticizing if you have the gift of leadership that you are in a leadership position in your vocation or in the secular world. I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm saying it's a problem if it's not utilized to help the body of Christ as well. That's my whole point that I'm trying to make here. Okay? But when we use our gifts, then it produces stability and it produces maturity within the body of Christ. We all know people who they came to know Christ, they started serving in the church, and they were really on fire, and then something happened, and they have fallen to the wayside, and they are almost to the point, if not renouncing God completely. What happened to them? A lot of times, and this is personal. This is personal to me, because I have a guy who was my song leader that this happened to. Beautiful voice, gifted voice. Many years served with me. He had experienced about a loss of about 5 different people in his family in 1 year. And he just left. For a long time, I thought, man, you know, he just didn't, he needed to, you know, and it was always on he. Until I came to realize, and that's why I put this down here. It wasn't as much on, it was partly on him, but it was also partly on me. If I had been, could it possibly, I guess really what I'm getting at is I asked myself the question, could it be that I and other members of that church did not utilize our gifts to help him become more stable and to produce more maturity? I don't know. It's just a question, but I know that that's the object and that's the duty, the job of our spiritual gifts. As we use them within the church, because they're designed to help other people, when we see those people who aren't stable and aren't maturing, I just ask the question, could it be that we are not using our gifts like we should? Rather than it all being on them, well, they should have made better choices. They shouldn't have let it do this to them. Something to think about, isn't it? Some cautions about spiritual gifts, and I think I wrote these all out for you, didn't I? Good. Don't confuse gifts with natural talents. We've already talked about that. Don't confuse the gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit shows maturity. Gifts of the Spirit show ministry. They are two different things. Fruits of the Spirit show maturity. Gifts show ministry. A person can have a spiritual gift. Well, they do. They will have. They can have a spiritual gift, but be spiritually immature. So, Spirit, fruits of the Spirit show maturity. Gifts show ministry. Number 3, don't confuse gifts with Christian roles. Another term for that you might want to write on there are callings, our offices. It gets really blurred, y'all, when we get over here talking about the gift of prophecy, the gift of pastoring is what some people call it. Sumner Wimp calls it the gift of prophecy. Rick Warren calls it the gift of pastoring. They're talking about the same thing, but they use two different words, and sometimes we get really confused. There, just like there is a difference between a fruit of the Spirit and a gift of the Spirit, there is a difference between the gifts and the roles, or the callings, or the offices that are given within the church as well. Be aware of gift projection tendencies. What I mean by this is, we have this tendency to look at people and we think they ought to minister and they ought to do things within the church the same giftedness that we do it. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about and then we'll move on. A lot of times, people with the gift of mercy, they don't understand, they can't understand why other people can't be as merciful to other church members as they can be. They can't understand why they can't be just as merciful as they are. That's projecting your gift projection tendencies onto somebody else. You look at them and you say, "Well, why? You have that gift. Why aren't they doing that? Why can't they do that?" We have a tendency to do that. Someone maybe who has the gift of administration, they'll look at what somebody's doing that doesn't have the gift of administration, but they're maybe in a leadership role or maybe they're in charge of a ministry, and they just shake their head and say, "Why are they so confused? Why is everything so disorientated? Why is it all? Why are they not ministering the way? Why? Because they don't have the gift of administration. That's why. They may have the gift of service. They may have the gift of exhortation. They may have the gift of teaching, but they don't have the gift of administration. And so somebody who has that gift, everything's real organized and looks good. And then you come into my office and stuff's scattered all throughout the desk and it's all stacked around me. And you probably go, how can he find a thing in here? Well, if you put it up, I can't find it. If it's right there, I can get a hold of it, then I can deal with it. See, we all minister according to our gifts. And sometimes we think other people ought to do it. Same thing for evangelism, and I could go on and on. There are different gifts and abilities. We don't need to project our gift on everybody else. We need to accept them that they have a gift, and there's a reason they have that gift. Number five, and this is a big one. Don't ever feel like your gift makes you superior to somebody else. There are no rankings of gifts in God's Word. He doesn't say, okay, if you have the gift, and well, let me just be honest with y'all. I have to remember we're being taped on this, but I'm going to be honest with y'all. A lot of, in the charismatic church, if you don't tell somebody, well, I have the gift of tongues, you are looked down upon like, oh, you haven't got there yet, right? Now, I'm not criticizing them, I'm not judging them, I'm just telling you, that's the reason I'm not a part of a charismatic denomination, because I don't think that's biblically true. I don't think there is any one that is superior than any of the rest of them. Now, are there some that are more out front than the other ones? Of course there are. That's just like Brian and I talk about this all the time. You know, for y'all, you know, everybody that comes to this church and that visits, they probably learn our names if they don't know anybody's first, because we're the ones that they see at worship service. We're the ones up there on the stage. But trust me, I'm speaking for Brian because we're talking an awful lot about this, but I can tell you his heart and my heart, we understand we're not the most important part of the ministry. We can tell you that much. We're just the part that everybody sees. Be careful. There's not one gift more superior than the other gift. And don't get feeling that way. Because if you do, you're going contrary to God's word and you're going contrary to the purpose of the gifts. Number six, realize using my gift without love is worthless. Interesting, interesting thing here. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time digging through and finding all these. This is why I've written them down for you, because I want you to have them. We would not get done in the four times that we have allotted, I promise you. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mine, over the heading on spirit, over chapter 12, it says spiritual gifts. Is that what y'all says as well? Okay. And then about chapter 12, it talks about one body, many parts. And look at chapter 13. What is it? What does your heading say over that? Love. And then what, chapter 14, what does it start talking about? Y'all have a heading? Gifts and prophecy and tongues, right? I guess it just worked out that way. That in God's word, sandwiched in between the two biggest chapters that we have on spiritual gifts, Paul goes, by the way, just a minute, let's talk about love for a moment. Anybody think that's a coincidence? I don't either. Why? You see, they had such a problem with spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church that God inspired Paul to write to them, explaining to them chapter after chapter, this is how you deal with these gifts. This is how you use the gifts. This is how they're administered. This is the thing about it. And by the way, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all of my possessions to the poor, he's talking about the gift of giving. I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul says, listen, I'm going to explain to you about these spiritual gifts. I'm going to identify them for you, and I'm going to help you understand how they came about. But please listen to me. This is Mark's Western West Texas translation. If you ain't got love, it ain't going to work. It's going to cause problems. You're going to have dissension. You're going to have people that think they're better than other people. They're going to have people that think their ministry is more important. Sound familiar? We have it today, don't we? If you don't have love with these gifts, you are missing the boat. You're missing the whole reason for the gifts. That's the point that I want to make. Using your gift without love is worthless. Paul says you might as well be clanging a cymbal together. How irritating is the sound of one of those big cymbals clanging together the whole time? Drive me crazy. I played drums a little bit. I played in band. And it drove me crazy listening to them cymbals all the time. That's what I think of when I read this verse. Clang, clang, clang. That's what your gifts, that's how useful your gifts are if you don't have love. Right in the middle of these two passages, he said you can be the greatest teacher, preacher, administrator, have the greatest expression of mercy. But if you don't have love, it's worthless. Number 7, you also have to realize you have both a primary and a secondary ministry or gifting, however you want to say it, but because of your giftings, you have a primary and a secondary ministry in the church. I talked about this last week, and I just kind of threw it in here. I want to make sure we get this point across. I think we need to quit trying to put round pegs in square holes. But that doesn't excuse us for taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, that I don't do that because that's not my gifting. That's not my spiritual gift." I know you hear it because you hear me say it all the time. Talk about singing, doing music. I tell you, that's not my spiritual gift. But do I do it sometimes? And I'm not saying, look at Mark. Mark's got it together. I'm just an example. Because I catch myself all the time saying, that's not my spiritual gift. That's not my gifting. It's not. I have to work very, very, very hard at playing the guitar. It doesn't come naturally to me. It doesn't flow. Different people ask about a song. And, you know, they'll ask me about a song and 4 weeks later, I'll do a song like in Fifth Sunday Sing. You may think, my goodness, you know, it's not a gifting. I work at it. I have to sit down and spend a lot of hours to be able to play that thing. But that doesn't mean when the need is not there that we don't do it because we say it's not my gifting. You have a primary gift in ministry, but there's also a secondary. And that is, there are those things that need to be done, and we do them because God's work needs to be done. Does that make sense? It almost sounds contrary, and I don't mean for it to be. I want you to realize that not being gifted in an area doesn't mean that God's not going to impress you to say, hey, you need to give him a hand in this area. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes we need to. Sometimes God's put us in that place where we can do it. And so just realize that. All right, questions, comments? We're fixing to switch gears. If we hadn't been in high gear yet, we're really going to get in high gear here. Okay? Because we're going to talk about how do you unwrap those spiritual gifts? How do you discover them? Now, I know you've been probably reading ahead, but somebody tell me, how do you think? What's the best way to discover what your spiritual gift is? Okay? You try them. You're absolutely right. The best way to discover your spiritual gift is you get educated about them, you learn what you can about them, but the very best way is to try them. I think one of the fallacies that we have in our churches today is we make it very easy for somebody to get into a ministry, and we make it really hard for them to get out of it. Amen? Have you found that in life? It's a whole lot easier to get in something than to get out of it. If not, just put the word debt in there. A whole lot easier to get in debt than out of debt, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to fill up your calendar than to get your calendar cleaned off. It's a whole lot easier to fill up your to-do list than it is to get to do it, to get it done. So understand, that is also the way with ministry. Spiritual gifts. The best way to figure out what your spiritual gifts are is to sample them, to try it, experiment with it. It's easier to discover your spiritual gift through ministry than to discover your ministry through your gift. All I mean by that is, it's awful hard a lot of times to figure out exactly what your spiritual gifts are. If you focus all the time on that and then say, once I get that figured out, then I'll figure out what ministry I need to be doing. Now, does that make sense to everybody? It's kind of a play on words, and I don't really mean for it to be. Have you discovered that it's a whole lot easier for you to figure out what it is that you enjoy doing within God, the body of Christ, when you've had an opportunity to do several different things, to try something? Y'all are being awful quiet. Okay. 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 Yeah. Look what they do. Yeah, and that's why I think it's important for us to look at them. But once you look at them, then it's going to help you to identify probably some things you're already doing, and you're saying, oh, I didn't realize that was a spiritual gift. Yeah, it is. And we're going to look at them. We're going to look at them kind of, I've given you the list. I've given you kind of some ideas about them, all right, about what they mean, and intentionally. There's no blanks in it, right? You got it there, all right? So whatever we have to rush through, to where we can get done, I don't want to keep you too late. I understand. I'm going to give you a little bit of explanation about some of them, but I want you to understand, these are them, okay? Now, like I say, they can be divided a lot of different ways. I went ahead and the printed way I've divided them is by the four purposes of the church. The four purposes of the church are really quite simply that we have what we've looked at in our 40 days of purpose, worship, ministry, discipleship, and evangelism. That's how I divided them. All right. Again, you could divide these things by speaking gifts, serving gifts, and sign gifts is another way that they're divided. You could divide them by roles, even about, you know, what kind of roles within the church. There's just so many ways to divide them. But because we've done this 40 days of purpose, I wanted to stick with those four things. So that's how we're going to look at them. First of all, the gifts that communicate God's word. The first one is preaching. Some people call it prophecy. Some translations call it prophecy. I want you to understand, there are two forms of prophecy. Foretelling and forthtelling. Somebody give me a definition. What is foretelling? You put your hand on a crystal ball and you hum, and you foretell the future, right? Did that gift ever exist? You better believe it did. It's about that much of your Bible. Prophets. Yes, it existed. Do I think that gift exists today in that form? No. But I do believe it exists in forthtelling. I'll get my word right in a minute. To forthtell means to explain. It means to proclaim, to tell what's written down, what you know. All right? And you've got a description there for it, correct? The ability to publicly communicate God's word in an inspired way that convinces unbelievers and both challenges and comforts believers. The ability to persuasively declare God's will and should have been God's word. That is a spiritual gift. Notice that scripture, that verse that you have there, it says there's three purposes for prophecy. Edify, exhortation, and comfort. I don't know if y'all examine it that much or not, but if you go back and look at the sermons that I brought to you in a year and a half, 2 years I've been here, you're going to find a mixture of all three of those. I may lean more heavy towards one or the other, but my goal is always to be a mixture of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, below each one of these, you have a thing that says you can evaluate yourself. All right? Number one means I got this gift. I know I got this gift. Number two, I may have this one. Number three, no, I don't think so. Okay? As you go through, you don't have to do them right this minute, but I'm just saying this is kind of going to be your homework for tonight, for this week. I want you to go back over these, read them again with everything that we said, and rate yourself. One, that's you feel pretty confident you have that gift. Number two, you may have it. Number three, no, don't have that gift at all. Okay, the next gift is evangelism. The gift of evangelism is the ability to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers in a positive, non-threatening way, the ability to sense the opportunity to share Christ and lead people to respond in faith. One word of caution here. Yes, there is the gift of evangelism. Does that excuse the rest of us does that say, whoop, if I don't have that gift, I'm not responsible to reach anybody for Christ? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying there are those people, you know, you've met them before. Every time they get on an airplane, God sets them beside someone. By the time they get off that airplane, they've introduced them to Jesus Christ, huh? They just have that ability, that knack, it seems like. God puts them next to somebody who he has been preparing. They have the gift of evangelism. That doesn't excuse us. That doesn't say, well, I don't have to share the gospel because I'm going to put number three and it's going to get me out of it. I don't have to go. See, you might have the gift of evangelism, but your personality might be that you're an introvert. That means more than likely you're not going to be walking around the airport with a track in your hand hunting for somebody to talk to. That doesn't mean you don't have the gift. All right, the gift of evangelism. Also the gift of missions. This is the ability to adapt to different cultures in order to reach unbelieving, help believers in that culture. Do we know anybody that has the gift of missions? I believe we know a couple. If you don't know anybody else, you know a couple. You also know a couple in this church, but who I have in mind is the hearts, huh? If you talk to, it takes about that long of talking to them and realize they have the ability to adapt to a culture because they love those people. I'm going to be honest with y'all. There's some of y'all here, you might love someone in Japan, but if you went over there and they tried to feed you sushi, you would die of starvation. You don't have the ability to adapt. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you're wrong. It's not that you're something wrong with you. You don't have that gift, that ability to adapt, okay? How much time do I have, y'all? It's almost time, isn't it? Be sure and rate yourself on these, okay? How about the gift of apostle, the apostleship? The ability to start churches and oversee their development. These people, the God people that have this gift, are like the Apostle Paul. They wouldn't dream of going to an existing church. Doesn't interest them at all. You hear these guys that start churches from scratch? Those guys have that gift. I'm here to tell you, your pastor doesn't have that gift. Never have started a church in my life. Never have had the feeling that, okay, I'm gonna leave this ministry and I'm gonna go start this. I don't have it. But every one of you have been introduced to somebody who has. Anybody know his name? Rick Warren. He definitely has the gift, this gift. Erwin McManus is another one. There's several of them that I could name off if we had time, if I could stop and think about them. They have it in them. They have that thing about them that says, I don't want to build on what somebody else has already done. God's wired me up. I want to start the thing from scratch. And they do it. Okay, the gifts of educating God's people, teaching. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this other than I'll make the point. Have you ever listened to a teacher who does not have the gift of teaching? You know it right away, don't you? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're bad. But they have to, and you have to really fight to keep your attention. You have to constantly be concentrating on what are they saying. I've had a ton of teachers in high school and college, they did not have the gift of teaching. But on the other hand, when somebody has the gift of teaching, it has to be a really bad day for you to lose your concentration about what they're saying, huh? They just have that ability to draw you in and keep your attention. That's the gift. Also, I'll tell you, this gift of teaching is one that has to be developed a lot. All right? The gift of encouragement is another one. This is the ability to motivate people to apply and act on biblical principles, especially when they are discouraged or wavering in their faith. The ability to bring out the best in other people. We see these a lot of times in teachers. We see them in counselors, pastors. Those are a lot of those vocations and those areas that we see them. It's just the ability to, this person always seems to be able to say the right thing at the right time. And I don't mean painting you a picture that's not true. I just mean you can come feeling really bothered about something, and after you talk to them, you feel better. Some of you have the gift of encouragement, and you're thinking, I don't have a gift. Yeah, you do. Some of you have this gift. You just haven't developed it. Or maybe it has developed some, but remember, this is all mixed in with your heart, your personality, your experiences, your ability, all these other things. It's displayed in a lot of different ways. Now, there are three gifts that support teachers and encouragers. Wisdom. Wisdom is simply the ability to recognize, I better not say it that way. It's the ability to put God's perspective on a situation, okay? It's the ability to explain and to do something. Now, I have to watch myself. These people have really a lot of good insight. You also have to be as closely related to discernment. What I started to give you was the definition of discernment. The gift of discernment is when you have God, if you have this gift, when God, when somebody says, well, this is what God's, this is a principle that God comes in God's word. And as soon as that comes out of their mouth, you go, no. No, that's not right. That's the gift of discernment. Yeah. Again, we all need to have that ability of discernment, don't we? But there are some people that, you know, have you ever heard somebody say, you'll be sitting in a group with somebody and somebody will be speaking, and somebody, the person that has the gift of discernment will lean over and tell you, say, do you understand what's going on here? Do you understand that person's agenda? And you're like, they're just motivating. No, they're not just motivating. They have an ability to pick out. Y'all follow what I don't know. I can't put it into words really what I'm trying to say. They have that ability to recognize what's really being said, what's really going on. It's generally tied to God's word, because people who have the gift of wisdom and of discernment, as you develop that gift, they fall in love with studying God's word. They are like walking encyclopedias of God's word. But those that have discernment are able to, somebody says something, and it pulls up on their computer like, no, that's not what it says. Some of y'all have that gift, and you don't realize you have it. Somebody will get talking along, and you'll be thinking, that don't sound right. You haven't developed it maybe enough. You need to go back and memorize more of God's word to where you can just pull it up just like that, huh? All right, the gift of discernment. Also the gift of knowledge. Knowledge is a little bit different. It's the ability to discover and collect and analyze information and be able to present that, to be able to display that. Researchers, biblical theologians, a lot of those guys have this gift of knowledge. It's just an ability to read it and then be able to present it to people to where they can understand what it's saying. That's not the best. Obviously, I don't have that gift because I'm not being able to present it very well. But anyway, you can read on there, and it can lead that to that. How about gifts that demonstrate God's love? I'm trying to hurry, y'all. Service. The key to service is this. Someone who has the gift of service, you don't ever have to tell them, hey, we need help with something. Y'all know somebody like that? That you haven't said a word to anybody about you had a need, and all of a sudden, boom, that need is met. And you never even said anything. That person, if we're talking about within the body of Christ, especially, that person probably has the gift of service. There are a lot of people in this church that have the gift of service. Your deacons, I will tell you, I praise them every chance I get, and that's why they have the gift of service. There are some other people in this church that are not deacons that have the gift of service. Things get done, and you don't even know they needed to be done. Amen? Those of you who know what I'm talking about, that's the gift of service. Gift of mercy. A gift of mercy is that ability to empathize with someone. Now, again, the Bible tells us we should all have the fruit of the spirit of mercy, huh? And that is that we ought to act merciful towards people. But there are some people that just have that gift. They're the ones, a good example of that is the Good Samaritan in the Bible. That'd be a good example. Hospitality. Some of you didn't even know that was in there, did you? Thought, hospitality? I didn't know that was a spiritual gift. Yes, it is. That's the ability to just make strangers, make visitors, make guests feel like they just walked back into their own home. There are some people who are good entertainers. They're good social entertainers. There's some people who have the gift of hospitality. The difference is the ones that are good entertainers, you spend the whole time walking around hoping you don't mess up what they've done. Either at their house or at their whatever they've set up. Y'all with me on this? Someone who has the gift of hospitality, you feel like you won't, but you feel like you can kick your shoes off, put your feet up on the, you know, they just make you feel that way. The gift of pastoring. Again, some of you go, well, I didn't know that gift was in there. Yeah. It's the gift, the ability to shepherd, to be able to equip, the ability to be able to inspire other people. Gift of giving. We all are called to give, but there's some people that God has just given the gift of giving to them. The best way I can describe someone that has that gift, the difference between them giving $1,000 and giving $1,000,000 to them, it's just a few more zeros. That doesn't bother them. They have those resources. God has given those resources. It just really doesn't bother them. Literally to them, you know, to us, between $1,000 and $100,000 is a bunch, huh? But to somebody who has that gift of giving, it's just more zeros to them. There's people in the body of Christ that have the gift of giving. Look at the foundations that are established. And you can start seeing some of them. Now, how about the ones that do recognize God's presence? Music, we pretty well know about that one. Arts and crafts, sometimes you don't think about that one. But I think that's a part of celebrating God's presence. It's that arts and crafts. You have the gift, ability to build, to maintain, to put together, to paint, to create. I think that's a viable gift. I also think drama falls into that one as well. I think God just gives some people that ability to be able to theatrically do some things. Maybe that's more personal opinion, but anyway. I want to get to this one, y'all. I'm trying to hurry, I promise. Prayer-related gifts. Intercession. This is more than what we do on Wednesday night. These are people that have that ability. They're like the what is it, the Ever Ready? Not Ever Ready Bunny. What is it? Energizer Bunny. Thank you. It's like the Energizer Bunny. They just keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. They never get tired. Also, healing is another one. Now, I want to give you just, this is where I wanted to get to, because I didn't want to get to all this and not bring this up. These next three gifts are what I consider my personal opinion. It's my personal opinion. They are sign gifts in the sense that most of us think about them. Miraculous healing, okay, are miracles, healings, and speaking in tongues. I view those as sign gifts. And what I mean by that is, and I want you to understand this, God can use and employ any gift he wants to use. If I think it is or not, it has no relevance whatsoever. God is God. Do I think those gifts were ever in use? Yes. But I think they were largely in use when we didn't have God's word. And so over and over in God's word, when he talks about these three gifts, it was always in a reference to a sign that whoever displayed these gifts, it was a sign that they were sent by God, empowered by God, they were speaking for God. All right? Now, to some degree, I think we still have them. I think we have those people who have the ability to just keep praying for people, even when it looks bad. But I don't put much, and again, I'm being honest with y'all, I don't put much credit when I turn over the TV and they're having a healing service and somebody's walking by there and some guy, some preacher up there slaps somebody on their forehead and they hit the ground. I think, of course they did. You just gave them a concussion. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was your hard hand that just knocked them out. I think God could use these gifts anytime he wants to. I have no problem with them. I'm not saying that they're not legitimate gifts. I'm just saying I do not see them employed in the churches today, in the United States especially, because we have God's word. Now, let me specifically talk to you about the speaking in tongues. I've never, ever addressed this with y'all, so I thought this would be a good time, and I'm going to, and then we'll close. I would not ever recognize in a worship service someone to stand up and start speaking in tongues. I would not hesitate one iota to tell them, sit down, you're out of order. We do not practice that gift here. Is it because I don't like the gift? No. Is it because I don't have the gift, so I don't want it? No, that's not it. Everything we know about that gift, and I have it listed here for you. First of all, it is for personal edification only. That's not what we're about in worship services, are we? It never builds someone else up. It only builds up the person that has that gift. Again, that's contrary to what we do here and what we do in the church. It causes confusion in the services. It confuses lost people and it freaks out saved people. Amen? Huh? It scares you. I cannot justify through scripture or anything else that God would say, that'd be okay, we can do that in the worship service. When over and over he says, I'm not the God of confusion. I'm not the God of fear. I'm not the God of misunderstanding. And then to stand, see the problem with it again, it was used, there's two things really. It's a misunderstanding of what the word's talking about. Most of the time when it was talking about speaking in tongues, it was talking about at the time of Pentecost when Peter stood, or any of the disciples stood, and they spoke, they talked in their language, and everybody there heard in their language. And even more than that, what was it, Brian?
A dialect that you understand.
I love it when Brian's in here. I can just kind of point to him, and he gives you that Greek stuff. It's pretty good. They heard it in their dialect. I mean, let's bring that down for you a little bit better. Peter spoke it in perfect English, and you heard it in West Texas slang, is what it's saying. I think that, could that gift still be used? Of course it could. But what we're talking about here is aesthetic utterances. When somebody stands up in a worship service and they just babble off something, and someone else stands up over there and goes, well, they just said so-and-so, so they said, praise God, God is good. You know what Paul said? He said, I would rather say five words that everybody understood than to say 5,000 that only God understood in a public worship service.
You can't tell me they
already know what they're saying. Seriously. Yeah. See, my point is I have never addressed that with y'all, and I really wanted to let you know, I'm not saying that God can't use that gift, that God never used that gift. It's in the Bible. It's there. I don't have a problem with it. But I believe there is scriptural status for me as the pastor to stand up, if anybody ever starts that, to go, you need to sit down and be quiet. Another thing you hear people say all the time as well, I just couldn't help myself, preacher. The Spirit just pushed it out of me. That's nonsense. Because it says right here, every one of the gifts should be under the control of the person that has that gift. It's a bunch of nonsense. What it is people thinking that that gift is a superior gift to the other gifts.
What if it's demonic?
Yeah. I mean, to me it would be. If they're standing up in a worship service and they're babbling off something, I'm going to tell them pretty quick, that's not from God, because you just confused three quarters of the people here and you scared the rest of us. And that ain't what this church is, any church is about. All right? Leadership. These other ones kind of fix all of them. Leadership. You've got, I gave you a description there. Administration. And what's the last one? Faith. Faith is just, you don't mind getting out on the limb. You don't worry about that anybody's going to cut the limb off. God told you to do it, you're going to do it. I think Noah probably had this gift. What do y'all think? I think Abraham probably had this gift. And I think some of you got the gift too. You may just keep working. You haven't developed it enough. Every now and then you glance back to make sure nobody's brought a saw behind you. All right? I'm sorry we rushed on this. Does that help any of y'all? I hope you're not more confused than when you came here. I hope not. Do we need to come back and look at this again still? Y'all got it pretty good, or we still need to spend more time with it?